Hi, Melinda. Thank you so much for coming on and speaking with us today on our podcast.
Thanks for having me, Sophie. Glad to be
Sure.
here.
I was hoping you could start by giving us an overview of who you are, what you do, and tell us a little bit about Total Diversity Clinical Trial Management.
I am the Chief Commercial Officer for Total Diversity Clinical Trial Management. I've been in the industry for over 25 years and have been with Total for six. And in my role, I am responsible for the strategic development and growth of the organization.
That's excellent. So can you tell us a little bit about Total? What's the mission or maybe the services that are provided?
Absolutely. So Total has been in business since 2013, so we've been around for 11 years. And we really created the organization so that we could focus more on diversity, representation, and clinical trials. And we really wanted to have a dedicated focus and drive in making sure that the underrepresented populations are considered and have access to participate in clinical trials. So as a full service CRO, we do all of that. So we can help with our clients as early on as with IND preparation, even preparing for Type C meetings with the FDA, to protocol development, protocol writing, data management, biostats, all of the site management and site identification, and then probably most critically, really understanding the populations that we need to target to participate in the clinical trials and making sure that we have a diverse representation in those studies.
That's excellent. It sounds like there's a lot that sets Total Diversity apart from other CROs, particularly the diversity component. What would you say your main approach is to patient recruitment and engagement?
It really is going to depend on the study and the indication, right? And so there's so much that goes into how are you going to reach individuals about participating in clinical trials? And while I know within the industry we focus on access, and that is a critical piece to it, first and foremost, the biggest challenge we have in the industry is a lack of awareness and education about clinical trials. And it is our job to make sure that we get the right literature out there within the communities, within these community-based sites, so that their existing patient population or even those in the community even know that the clinical trial is being conducted, and also making it presented in such a way that it's a care option for them to consider.
Sure. So it sounds like it's maybe a way that you make sure that your potential participants are receiving clear and accessible information. Is there anything else that Total does specifically to make sure that happens?
Yeah, I think, we have a long history in with site relationships. We have worked a lot with different site networks and know that those site networks have access to their database, so we know exactly what their diverse representation looks like within their database, and not only from gender to sex orientation to ethnicity, but also just culturally, what might need to be considered in making sure that those educational materials are developed correctly. But working closely along with the site networks, we actually can handpick clinical sites, community-based sites, to participate in the studies that we're managing to make sure that we are reaching those individuals of interest.
That's excellent. So Melinda, how do you ensure that there's data integrity throughout the trial process?
So we, for every study that we develop, we create a quality assurance plan and also a data integrity plan. And so those are established at the very beginning of every study that we do, and then the project teams manage to those plans throughout the study. We use online platforms like a clinical trial management system and also a risk-based management system that allows us to proactively evaluate the data that's being collected at the research sites, and it allows us to see if there's any potential trends that could be problematic that we can respond to versus having to wait to the end of the study and cleaning the data through the query system.
Excellent. So that's how you ensure regulatory compliance. Can you also discuss the role of continuous training and audits in maintaining your high standards?
Yes. So of course, for our staff, we have continuous training, industry-related training, but also study-specific training that is required for the teams that are assigned to a given study, that they have to finish their trainings before they can work on those studies. auditing we do throughout the study, usually we'll audit about 2 to 3 sites. It depends. It's usually 20% of total sites that we will actually conduct on-site audits to make sure that the study is being conducted in accordance to the protocol.
Okay. Well, it sounds like you're doing everything right. Can you share some of the success stories or notable impacts that total diversity has had on clinical trials up to this point?
Yeah, absolutely. So one of the things I mentioned earlier was being able to handpick sites to participate in a study based on what we know we're trying to enroll from a diverse perspective. So we had a cardiovascular study, a little unique. It was a technology. It was an app-based system that measured your heart rate. And going into it, we knew that 30% of the total subjects enrolled into the trial had to be the Fitzpatrick skin type 5 and 6. And what that means is we are having to target individuals of darker skin color because the darker skin pigment on your fingertips can alter how well an application on your phone can pick up your heart rate. So we selectively picked 7 sites within the U.S. that we knew had already access to patients within their population to enroll in the study. So our focus was to enroll those 30% first and then enroll the rest of the study, which could have been any Fitzpatrick, 1 through 6. And so we did that and we successfully enrolled all the diverse subjects that were needed, and we did so 3 weeks early.
That's incredible. Wow, it was smart to do the 30% first. Yeah, that's awesome.
Absolutely.
Very good.
Thanks. And another one I'll just share is we do a lot of work in cosmetic related studies, and every cosmetic related study or almost every cosmetic related study requires that 10 to 20% of total enrollment be the upper Fitzpatrick, again, 4, 5, or 6. And this particular study that we had that initial goal in place, but this particular study, after an interim analysis, the FDA came back with a strong recommendation of wanting to add some more diverse representation to the study. So they wanted 10% to be African-American, they wanted 6% to be Asian, and they wanted 14% to be Hispanic. So we then worked really closely with the sites, evaluated, did they have that patient population within their database? If not, did we need to help identify potential subjects in their communities through community-based events or external marketing through digital marketing, et cetera, so that we could help them achieve those goals. And so we were able to implement some strategies to help make sure that those goals were achieved. And the reason it's so important for these types of studies, the cosmetic related studies, is because it can affect their labeling when they do get FDA approval.
Sure. Wow. That's incredible. Just sort of to wrap things up, is there not necessarily what's on the horizon, but I read a little bit about DTeach and DSAT. Do you want to talk about that?
Sure. Yeah, one of the things, our CEO, Diana Foster, was very integral and was the author of the Diversity Site Assessment Tool, which we refer to as the DSAT. The DSAT is available to everyone free of charge. It's housed on the Society of Clinical Research Sites website. What's nice about the tool is it's broken down into 3 categories, and it allows a clinical research site to really better understand their overall cultural competency. And it helps provide some insight in terms of what are things they're doing really well, where are some areas they need to improve, or maybe do they have just gaps altogether.
This gives a baseline
absolutely,
for the sites.
Absolutely. And so for us, the way we use the DSAT with our clients is we do the DSAT to help determine that baseline, as you just said. And then we have our DTeach platform, our portal, I should say, that includes a series of diversity and cultural competency trainings that we have created. And it is specifically aimed at the sites to help them better understand how is diversity and all the guidance is coming out from FDA, the Fedora, how's that really going to impact the way that we operate at our clinical research site, and what changes might we need to do, and who might we need to partner to make sure that we can do this bigger and better and more successfully. So we're excited to be able to continue to really support the sites so that they have a repository of how to do this so that it's not just left up to them.
So clearly, Total's very established in this area and is ready for the future too by including diversity. So that's wonderful to hear. Any closing thoughts, or if people want to reach you, where can they find you or get your contact information?
A couple of final thoughts is, you know, diversity is here and now, and we're very excited about it. It's been a long time coming. There's been a lot of discussion about it, and we know that it's going to take all of us within this industry to make notable change. And so, you know, whether it's an opportunity to work with organizations like ourselves or other organizations out there where they really, truly have part of their mission is to increase diverse representation in clinical trials, I would say find a way to become part or partner with those organizations. And you can reach me at mgertz@totalcro.com or 214-704-8841.
Thank you, Melinda. I really appreciate you taking the time to talk with us today about Total Diversity and all your offerings.
Thank you, Sophie. It's been a pleasure.